what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we're lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back down a shot of hard liquor and try to have some damn fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the River Styx.
Hope ye shall abandon.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steel and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. How's the coin and mysticism business, Shelley?
Both are very good. Both are very, very good. I visited the coin shop today. I had a few things to do, as I usually do. So if you don't see me at Nevermore, if the door is locked, just walk over to the coin shop because I'm there.
1271 Sweeten Creek Road?
Yes.
1271 Sweeten Creek Road. That's just a mile or two off of I-40, exit 51?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought so.
Very close to Biltmore Village.
Right?
Yes.
1271 Sweeten Creek Road, little plaza there where Wright's Coin Shop does business. And right next door is Nevermore Mystical Arts. And a lot of, speaking of strange listeners, drop in and check on you.
They do. Sometimes they go by way of the coin shop and then pop into my place and tell me how much they love the show. I had that happen earlier this week. That's always really nice. But, I get a lot of customers from the coin shop. It kind of, mysticism, mystical things, magic, it plays into coins and wealth and things like that very well.
And do you guys cater to the novice collector or even the investor, somebody that doesn't really know a whole lot about precious metals? Mm-hmm. Of course, your family have been in business well over 40 years, and they're honest, and they're going to treat people that really are kind of clueless, who come in off the street, say, you know, their grandmother passed away. She had a few coins, maybe a couple silver dollars, something like that. If they bring that by for you folks to have a look, you're going to give them a fair estimate on
That's
worth and you know, honest value for coins for sale. And then if they want to supplement their collections, you've got coins at a good price for them there as well, right?
Definitely. And we do trading. And right now, I popped in today and I looked in the cases just to see what they had, because things are changing all the time. They work at like a fruit stand. You know, you turn things over as quickly as possible. You get new things in, you get them out there, you find them homes. And I noticed quite a few silver bars in there. 1 ounce bars, 5 ounce, 10 ounce. They have a good selection of gold right now, and gold and silver are both great prices, so I would definitely check it out. But do it like now, because you know, if you wait, it's going to be gone. And if you see something that you like, if you walk in, you see something that you like, get it, because chances are if you come back in an hour or two, it'll be gone.
A lot of turnover as far as inventory goes there, because there's always coins coming and going, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a museum. I mean, it turns quickly.
Somebody wants to call Wright's Coin Shop up on the phone with a question about something they've got. What's the number down there?
It is 828-298-5402.
All right. Or you can drop by in person, and you should, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, Asheville. And make sure you also check out Nevermore Mystical Arts. Did you get some fresh inventory when you were on your little road trip, Shelley?
I did. I got a few things. I got turned on to this one company. I had no idea they existed. I'm in love with them. I just got a huge shipment in today. Some fabulous candles by a company that is owned and run by a family of witches, three generations of witches. And their slogan is, we pour our candles when the moon is right.
Okay. Very neat. People can come on down to Nevermore and get a look at some of those. Excellent. You don't have any stone parrots in the shop, do you?
Nope, can't see a Jew.
No parrots. You seem like you need an animal familiar.
There's a bat in there.
Oh, you've got a bat.
I've got not a live one,
but like a fake bat.
Well, it used to be alive. It was a grand opening present from my friends Justin and Patty.
Oh, it's a taxidermy bat?
Yes, it's a taxidermy bat. So I just haven't put it up yet, but yes.
Do you have a name for the taxidermied bat?
No, I don't.
Are you open to suggestions?
If
listeners to Speaking of Strange want to come by Nevermore and offer names for your bat.
Right. I have names for the skulls. All skulls are Bob. It doesn't matter what they are. They're all named Bob.
All the skulls are Bob.
Yeah.
It's like Andy Warhol. Was it Andy Warhol or his mom had something like 12 cats and they were all named Sam?
12 cats named Sam and Shelly's got 12 skulls named Bob.
Bob.
Hmm. What's a good bat name, Sam?
Barry.
Barry the bat? No, you don't. No. You're not going to name him Barry?
No.
I have to think on that one. Speaking of strange listeners, that's your job. Help us name Shelly's taxidermied bat. Parrots flying high on drugs are annoying farmers by plundering poppy fields to feed their opium addiction. How's that for a headline? It is a dark 30, remember. The drug-addicted birds sit perched and wait until the morphine-rich area is exposed by workers slitting open the flowers' pods to help them ripen. The parrots then swoop down in silence into the opium fields, having learned not to squawk, and frantically nibble off the stalks below the pod before they are spotted. Video shows them retreating to high branches where they gorge on the plants, leaving them sleeping for hours and even falling to their death. This phenomenon was first reported in 2015, but this year it has spread across to other regions for the first time. Farmers now claim they are getting warnings from the government's narcotics department, which controls opium farming, over their reduced yields. An opium farmer from Nemak, India, estimates parrots are stealing around 10% of his crop, and he has been given a warning. He said, usually the parrots would make sound when in a group, but these birds have become so smart that they don't make any noise when they swoop on the fields. The birds start chirping when they fly away with opium pods. We have tried every trick possible to keep the birds at bay, but these addicts keep coming back even at the risk of their life. Maybe the worst part of this is we yell curse words at them to scare them off, and now, after they get back in the trees, the birds have learned the words and scream and cuss back at us. Oh, stoned birds cussing at you from the treetops. Goodness. The Mexican Tourist Board has invented a cloud which rains tequila in a bid to pull in crowds of tourists from Europe. The tequila-loving nation has roped in the help of an American marketing company to create the cloud and are now hoping tourists flood to the country. They took the cloud to an art gallery in Berlin, Germany, to show it to the locals this week. The cloud was created by the Mexico Tourism Board. The high-tech system uses ultrasonic humidifiers, which vibrate tequila at a frequency that transforms it into a visible mist. The mist then goes into a plastic container where it mixes with vapor to form a cloud, which periodically produces alcoholic rain. Visitors may collect tequila from beneath the cloud. Germany is the second largest importer of Mexican tequila, behind the USA, quickly followed by Spain, France, and the UK. Tequila clouds.
Well, they were doing something similar to this recent, in the not so distant past, where it was like a fad, vaping alcohol.
Okay.
So you would go into a bar, and it was like a rig that had like a double boiler type situation where you had a flame. But this could be very dangerous because you have flames and alcohol, mist, could cause an explosion.
Right, right.
But basically, it would vaporize the liquid leaving the alcohol, and then you would suck it in, and so you weren't drinking anything, and you would get this immense alcohol buzz instantly because it would go directly into your bloodstream, and you wouldn't have drank anything. You just, but as far as I know, it's gotten outlawed. You're not allowed to, but you can vape alcohol, and it wouldn't be on your breath. So for you hardcore alcoholics out there,
wow,
you might want to look into that.
just saying.
Sounds dangerous. Sounds potentially super dangerous. Shelly, are you ready with the bell over there?
I am ready.
Car twerkers are storming Miami for spring break. Could your city be next? While the Northeast deals with huge snowstorms, Miami, Florida is dealing with a rash of car twerking. In the past few days, women have been filmed shaking their hinies on top of cars in the Magic City. One woman was caught twerking on top of a car driving westbound on the MacArthur Causeway early Monday evening. The savvy filmmaker recorded her posterior for posterity and shared it with friends, one of whom was documentary filmmaker Billy Corbin, who posted it on Twitter. For anyone who thought that twerking had its moment and now it's gone, that is clearly not the case, Corbin told Miami New Times. As social media has taught us, twerking is forever. It is a timeless tradition. The paper reached out to local police to see if the woman was arrested or at least stopped by police. However, there were no car twerkers reported from MacArthur Causeway, possibly because the first rule about car twerking is that you don't tell people about car twerking.
Vance, if you turn to your right, you'll see the video. That is what car twerking looks like. Oh, yes.
That's actually happening while the car is
going about 45, 55 miles an hour.
She's really talented.
She's very talented, may I just say, and pretty hot.
Car twerking.
That looks very dangerous. It's like remember in Teen Wolf?
Right, yeah.
When Styles jumped up on the thing. He's like, let's go surfing! And Michael J. Fox is up on the truck, and they're serving. It's like that, except with G-strings and more butt shaking.
Car twerking for spring break. A lot more good stuff to come up. Dark 30 on Speaking of Strange continues after this break. Welcome back. Dark 30 on Speaking of Strange. If you are easily offended or if there are little ones about, be a good time to tune out or chase the Rugrats off to bed because, we're examining some things from the news that are, embarrassing to put it lightly and just downright wrong in some cases. I want to mention it. it crossed my mind. I totally forgot about it. Joshua P. Warren. That's JPW. No period after the P. JoshuaPWarren.com. Joshua P. Warren is going to be my guest on Fate Magazine Radio tomorrow night on the KGRA radio network. So KGRARadio.com, Sunday night, April 23rd. Vance Pollock, host of Fate Magazine Radio, interviews Joshua P. Warren. So that's something special. It's a one-hour conversational, you know, sort of thing. I don't do a whole lot of show prep is one way I like to pitch it. But anyway, Fate Magazine Radio. Of course, Fate Magazine has been publishing since 1948. And the publisher and I have some mutual friends. And the podcast had been happening over on KGRA for a while. And somebody reached out to me and said, would you like to host Fate Magazine Radio? And I was like, boy, would I. So, yeah, tomorrow night, Fate Magazine Radio, KGRARadio.com, 9 p.m. Eastern, I will be interviewing the boss, Joshua P. Warren. And we'll probably talk a little bit about Paracymatics. We spoke with Josh about that the last time he was on. Josh is a new concept whereby he generates sigils, that is magic power signs, using an audio resonator technique. Anyway, yeah, tomorrow night on Fate Magazine Radio, we'll get Josh to tell you all about it. You can learn a little bit more about it in the meantime at joshuapwarren.com. Paracymatics. Fascinating stuff. A lot of feedback since he did the Coast show about that. Josh said that a lot of people have been, dozens and dozens of people have been emailing to say that they've had results from like his Get Rich Quick sigil and a Good Fortune sigil. Maybe you should print up some of Josh's magic sigils, the Paracymatic sigils, and hand them out to people at the shop. Shelley?
That sounds like a great idea.
That's a thought. Anyway, Paracymatics, the latest Joshua P. Warren undertaking. It's always something, isn't it? Always something mm-hmm. with Josh. And it's always fascinating. It's never boring. On to some Dark 30 news. Remember, tune out if you're squeamish. You've been warned. Engineer creates sex robot that needs to be romanced first. Here's a man with a mission. He wants to make sure robotic sex dolls enjoy the sex as much as the humans, or at least act like they do. The Barcelona-based engineer has just created a sex doll named Samantha, who is equipped with the latest advancements in artificial intelligence. As the video demonstrates, Samantha responds when the user touches her hands and hips by saying positive statements like, "I love this," and "nice and gentle" in a sing-song voice. Basically, she likes to be touched. She has different modes of interaction. She has romantic, she has family, and she also has sexy modes, the engineer told television interviewer. Also said she likes to be kissed while putting his finger in her mouth. Santos said it doesn't take much for Samantha to respond to romantic overtures. Normally, she likes to be kissed always, and also she responds to basically the G-spot and also the breasts, he said. She also responds to the hands. However, she's no sure thing. Santos, the engineer, said she is programmed to want romance first and then get comfortable before getting sexual. The final objective of the sexual mode is to give her an orgasm, said Santos. So, wow. She's kind of like a video game, right?
Defeats the entire purpose of having a sex doll.
Get a real woman!
If you're going to have...
If you have to wine and dine her. That. Yeah. Gracious.
Oh, my aunt asked me if you can create a doll to cook, clean, and mow the lawn, he said. And I said, yes, I can. It's a question of price and demand. Anyway, yeah, I think that's kind of a boring...
If you build it, they will come.
I'm putting that one face down, bottom of the stack.
It
then.
Was kind
anyway.
Of creepy, icky.
Yeah. Are you ready, Shelly, with the bell over
yep.
there?
Shelly Belly.
Shelly Belly. Iron Man robs blood bank in Broward County, Florida.
Get it, Iron Man?
Sheriff's office says. A man wearing an Iron Man suit held up a blood bank near Fort Lauderdale, said the Broward Sheriff's office, and is asking for help finding him. An armed robber disguised as a superhero Iron Man held up a blood bank, and the Broward Sheriff's office said he pushed aside a customer and pointed a gun at a clerk at Continental Services Group at about 10:30 a.m. March 3rd, according to the surveillance video released by the sheriff's office. He demanded money, and the employee told him, "We're not a money bank, we're a blood bank." And the man said he knew they paid people to give blood, so they have to have some money, too. He was hungry and crabby and in no mood for games, the sheriff's office said. The woman worker gave him a cash box, and he ran outside with it, and the sheriff's office would not disclose how much money it held. The robber, described as 5'9", wore a red Iron Man suit with a hood that zipped up into a mask, and the sheriff's office asked anyone with information to call Detective Mark Copley at 954-321-4738. Broward County Crime Stoppers will accept anonymous tips. Or at the BrowardCrimeStoppers.org website, and the organization pays up to $3,000 for information leading to an arrest. Iron Man robbed a blood bank.
Did you get my pun earlier about iron and blood?
Yes, yeah. We did.
Okay, just checking. Just checking.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm a little sluggish. I'll admit I've got medicine head, man. You know what? When you've spent way too many hours in bed for like 5 days, and every time the 4-hour cycle is up and you can take some more acetaminophen, you can take some more of this stuff to try and dry it. Oh, man, medicine head.
I don't like the acetaminophen.
Man, it was like the fever aches. The muscle aches in my legs were just like the worst thing the other day, and my wife couldn't be in bed with me because I just had to, like, shake my, it was like RLS or whatever. Do you believe in that? Restless leg syndrome?
Yeah.
I was kind of feeling that with this fever recently. Anyway, enough about me and my sickness, but that's my excuse if I don't catch some of Sam's quips, because Sam, the animal, steals wit is sharp as a whip here sometimes,
and sometimes it's just sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes it is, and sometimes it's just right over my head. Is he over your head sometimes, Shelley?
Sometimes
he's too smart for his own good.
He is.
Well, I'm over a lot of people's. I'm 6'6". I'm not over Vance and me are pretty close.
Not quite
to height.
Literally over my head, but anyway,
we're both tall glasses of water.
Yeah, more than 100 diners skip out on a restaurant bill in a conga line. Wow. Last month, more than 100 people who said they were celebrating a baptism sat down to a banquet at a restaurant in Spain. Afterward, they formed a conga line and danced out without paying. An arrest has been made by Spanish police in a great conga line caper. Late last month, more than 100 people said they were celebrating the baptism, sat down to the banquet at Hotel Carmen restaurant in northern Spain. The wine flowed, 30 bottles, according to reports. And then the merrymakers got up and just conga'd right on out of there.
Give them the benefit of the doubt and be like, oh, he's taking care of it. Uncle Remy's taking care of it.
They caught the man who organized the Dine and Dash conga line, and he's now suspected of plotting the same scheme at another restaurant about 10 miles away. Yeah.
That's a pretty good idea.
So, yeah, the Dine and Dash conga line. More coming right up after this break. It's the Dark 30, speaking of strange. speaking of strange, never hurts to come in on a little Ramones. Remember, Dark 30 is the time to tune out if you are easily offended, because there's some stuff that the sensitive types out there might really get worked up over. I mean, because there's some weird, wacky, wild stuff going on out there in the world, and this is the hour we report it to you just for your own elucidation. It's been said that Speaking of Strange is the show that spans the summit of man's wisdom to the pit of his dark depravity, and this is the time for the dark depravity stuff. This one not quite so dark. We sometimes it's a little light. This is like Dark 30 light, L-I-T-E. Man steals street sweeper but fails to make clean getaway from Oregon cops. An Oregon man did not make a clean getaway early Sunday after stealing a street sweeper and leading police on a 10-mile chase. According to cops, the 33-year-old man jumped into the street sweeper around 3:45 a.m. after the driver, a private contractor, exited the vehicle to use a handheld blower in order to clean an area where the street sweeper couldn't reach. And the gentleman then drove off in the Isuzu street sweeper. Upon learning of the theft, cops in Hillsborough, a city about 20 miles outside Portland, quickly located the vehicle on the deserted pre-dawn streets. Officers activated their overhead emergency lights. The street sweeper failed to yield, cops say. For 10 miles, officers pursued the street sweeper, which topped out at 65 miles an hour.
Oh, dang.
The chase ended after this man drove over spike strips placed in the roadway by the Washington County Sheriff's Office deputies. The man was taken into custody without incident and charged with multiple counts, including auto theft and attempting to elude police. He is also facing parole violation charge in connection with a prior conviction for aggravated harassment. He's being held in Washington County Jail. Kind of reminds me of, I'm guessing now I'm getting the idea of like the small truck with the vacuum hooked up to it that drive around in
the Walmart parking lot.
But yeah.
I mean, why does he get charged with cleaning up the neighborhood? I mean, yeah. At worst, he's still doing something good.
Yeah, he cleaned a 10-mile swath.
Yeah, just left a path of clean everywhere he went.
Oh, my goodness.
You don't know?
Yeah.
All right. You know, I think we can all agree that privacy issues are a big concern these days. If you use Facebook on your phone, you know, you say you agree. You don't read all that crap. But that means that they can, like, turn on your camera, your audio. They can listen, watch, whatever they want. And this is something we just take for granted. Like, oh, it's just the way it is now. Well, it's expanded. It's gone all over the place. I'm talking it has expanded to other areas of our life, such as pleasure devices. A vibrator maker to pay out $4 million for tracking users' sexual activity. Now, some of these customers, I imagine some of the more voyeuristic ones, were happy, but some weren't happy to learn that their preferences were being cataloged. The company has promised to destroy data collected by its smart vibrator after it was accused of storing highly sensitive information about women's sexual activities without their consent. The company's called Standard Innovation. They promised the Wii Vibe toy would stop storing intensity levels and will pay out about $4 million to settle out of a class action lawsuit. A lot of these people didn't even know that they were like, oh, okay, we bought it, and now they're in a class action lawsuit. Well, apparently a pair of New Zealand hackers claimed they were able to interfere with the Wii Vibe vibrators, remotely turning them on and off to spy on their owners. I don't know if these have cameras on them or whatever. But the company's president denied that the data collection was being used to snoop on its customers, but simply to monitor for any hardware defects. According to court documents, dates and times of use, as well as vibration mode and pattern to the company's servers, along with personally identifiable email addresses, were being stored on Innovation Standards servers. And the Canadian manufacturer will pay anyone who used the connected Wii Vibe app before September 2016 up to $10,000 and offer customers who simply own the device up to $199. It's not like, as far as I can read here, there's no camera attached to the Wii Vibe app. It's getting pulse knowledge, like how long somebody might use it, at what intensity. Okay, maybe there's an email address. Still, it's not like getting photos, right? Seems like a non-issue, really. I mean, you're buying a sex toy that's hooked to the internet. I mean, you have to kind of take into consideration that if it's hooked via the internet, that somebody can get a hold of it and do other things with it. That's what hacking is.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how to respond to that.
I mean, if you were using the WeVibe vibrator yourself, Vance, would you be upset that somebody collected the info of how long you used it?
No, I don't think that the collection of personal data as it bears on my use of the WeVibe.
Mining the man data.
Well, I don't think they should have been collecting personal email addresses, but there was another part to that story.
What was that?
I
skipped around, so it was long.
About it coming on when perhaps...
That hackers could remotely activate the...
Remotely turning them on and using them to spy on their owners. If that website I was telling you about earlier off the air, one of the things you can tip, and if you tip on there, they're using web-enabled vibrators. So you can make it go off when you tip for X amount of time. You tip 50 tokens, it'll go off for 20 seconds or something. So you're giving a girl pleasure via, you know, not being there.
Right.
So I guess they were doing that. But, I mean, I've seen some that have 1080p cameras on them. Maybe, you know, I mean, but what are they seeing? Innards? I don't know.
That's a thought.
I don't know. It just seems, it's in Canada. It seems like a pretty high settlement, like 10 grand a person. Makes you wish you would have gotten in on that WeVibe vibrator thing a little earlier. Before September 2016.
Only find out at the end when we report on it.
Hey, here's a headline that causes me a bit of confusion. Let's see if the article sorts itself out. Baby born to a man who was a woman who got pregnant by a woman who was a man.
Okay, let's figure that out. Let's do a diagram.
Okay, you're right. They are the couple who made history last year when the transgender father fell pregnant by the trans mother. And now, 4 months after giving birth to their first child, Fernando Machado, who was born a woman, and his partner, Diane Rodriguez, who was born a man, have revealed they want to expand their family. The new parents from Ecuador have opened up about life with their new baby after becoming the first transgender couple to fall pregnant in South America. We are the same as other families, even though we might not have the same rights. We're the same, Mr. Machado, who gave birth in June, told the BBC. Being a mother was never something I thought I would do because I am a transsexual, she said.
He said.
I don't even know
I figured it out. I mean, so there's a guy and a gal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't identify, so they swapped.
Right.
But obviously, I mean, even if you swap and you do all the treatments, still at the end of the day, the former man who's now a woman can't have a child. So the former woman who is now a man would still have to bear the actual child. So it would be a man having a baby if taking into account that all the parts weren't removed or disabled. It is kind of a difficult one. I was like trying to draw it out in my head while you were reading it. I'm like, okay, I think I got it.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting. It's a problem they probably didn't encounter back in the 1800s.
No, not very often. It's a new dynamic. But I have to think that that there were people who may have, because you look at a lot of the women in these old photographs, and they were pretty butch.
Are you talking about the 1800s?
Yeah,
like the isn't a lot there, of that have to do
some,
with
there were some pretty.
Oh, well, they
butch
were working
women
on the farm. I mean, they had to chop wood. They had to do manual labor. And the reason I heard my grandpa told me, they had a whole room in their house just full of like old pictures of family relatives that scared the bejesus out of me. Because, like, they just look, the women look so mean.
You've heard the expression, she wore the pants in the family.
Yeah.
That's the way they always used to express it. But I have a feeling that there were effeminate men and masculine women who made couples in generations past.
But the reason he said that they women looked so mean back then, in particular, was that they had the posing length of time. That they had to hold.
The shutter speed.
Yeah, they had to hold still.
That's true.
So, like, you wouldn't want to, like, make a smile,
right,
like you wanted to stay stoic or whatnot, but and so I would end up with Aunt Hilda looking. That was one of them, I think. Great Aunt Hilda. She scared the crap out of me when I was like 8, 7. I was scared to go into that room. It smelled like mothballs, and there was just angry women in old frames on the wall.
Oh my goodness! You are listening to The Dark 30 Hour, speaking of strange, we have a little bit of fun around here. We hope you do, too. And, yeah, if you're getting a little bit offended, bear that in mind. That's what The Dark 30 is all about. We'll be right back to wrap things up. Down the Dark 30 Hour on Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Vance Pollock, and this is the hour where we deal with some unpleasantries. So if you're not suited to hear some rather potentially offensive material, it's this is not your hour. You missed it. The first couple hours we were very, very highbrow. Those first 2 hours we were throwing brilliance your way about preserving human remains and as art, and you know, very illuminated sort of discussions those first couple hours. But now we're going to talk about great big wooden penises of Japan.
Oh, my favorite topic.
You know, it's spring when Japan whips out the bizarre giant penis and parades it around for the young brides to ride.
Is there one?
The 7-foot tall wooden phallus through the streets. It's good luck for the bride to wear something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. But across Japan, you'll stand a better chance of marital success if your bride climbs atop a giant wooden penis and is paraded through town while waving to everyone. The Hot Air Festival in the city of Nagoya, is that right? Nagoya is considered one of the country's biggest and best spring penis festivals, and there are a few.
Oh, tell me about it.
On the second Sunday of March each year, women who have wed in the past 12 months don traditional Japanese bridal gowns and straddle a totemic tool as it is carried through the streets. Straddle a totemic tool.
Say that 5 times.
Straddle a totemic tool. Straddle a totemic
tool.
That's
what. That's like when you deal with your rage issues. That's what you have to say.
That's like Anchorman at the beginning. straddle a totemic tool.
Straddle a totemic tool.
The gigantic 7-foot phallus is celebrated as an emblem of good fortune, with huge crowds gathering to touch and stroke the mighty member as it passes. The festivities are seen as bestowing fertility, marital bliss, and good luck on those who participate. Hoder translates into English as male genitals, although apparently if spelled out in caps, it means ripening of rice plants.
Oh.
It is believed there have been Hoder festivals in Japan for centuries, although in recent years they have unsurprisingly become much bigger tourist attractions.
Now, weren't we talking about you had a business idea, maybe making some of those bracelets? What would be the acronym for that?
Oh, the wooden.
Yeah.
The giant wooden penis acronym. What was it? I had it jotted down at the top. I did. I had it written right.
What was it again? It was the giant wooden.
GBGWP.
Yes.
It means great big giant wooden penis now, is what GBGWP stands for.
Let me ask a
great
question.
Great big giant wooden penis.
Why is it that you think that the Japanese, even more so than anywhere else in the world probably, have some of the strangest and socially acceptable? It's not like a fringe group is doing the giant wooden penis parade thing. It's like a national thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like oh my, these people have wheeled out their giant wooden 7-foot. No, everybody, like grandma's into it. Everybody's into it. And do you think, why is it that area? Does it have to do with radiation? Or like, why is it that one little tiny area of the world is like, they're really weird about certain things?
I don't know. I think there are a lot of traditions, pre-Christian traditions, especially that
things,
deal with
yeah.
fertility. I mean,
but
Easter
that doesn't
is
sound like a fertility thing. It's does it?
Does yeah, it sound- I think so. I think a giant, big giant totemic tool,
giant totemic great, tool,
great big giant wooden penis is. I think that's a sign of fertility. I mean, that's
well, if you want to break it down. But now in 2017,
and having young women that were married in the last past year to ride on the
in 2017 now what it is just a 7-foot dildo getting carted down the street with people touching it.
Yeah,
it's not really
it's nothing sacred anymore.
No, it's just
it's like my giant wooden penis is not sacred to anyone anymore.
I mean, it's lost all of its meaning.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, what we had Belle Cher.
Not anymore.
I know. We don't even have that anymore.
No, like the topless rally, which
that
is
was
pretty bad.
Weak sauce.
Yeah. It's pretty weak.
But, I mean, if you and me and Shelley were to make, say, even a 6-foot wooden penis and go carting it through the street.
Even just a paper mache.
Even just
penis.
We'd be looked at
giant
as outcasts.
Paper mache
I
penis.
Don't know. In Asheville, we probably wouldn't raise any eyebrows. You know, they just go along with anything.
Maybe we have a speaking of strange paper mache penis made.
We should run that by the boss.
Sell it on the web shop.
Yeah.
I think so. Giant, like a giant penis.
Keychain.
Pinata.
Oh.
Penis pinatas. Let's do this, guys. You've been listening to Speaking of Strange. Let's do it again soon, shall we? Thanks to Brian Hall, Joshua P. Warren, Mr. Mobius, and all our good friends out there in Radioland. Have a good night.